one man who knows about going from the bad times to the good times at Manchester United is Paul Parker, former United and England defender. Paul's got a new book out, actually, called Tackling the Game. Paul, morning. How do you tackle the Man United crisis?
Well, you just ask everyone to down tools and let them win games of football. I think at this moment in time, just make it easy as possible.
Go on then. What would you do? You're in the dugout. What would you say to them?
What would you say to them? It's not about saying now. It's, you know, you can talk and talk, but at the end of the day, you want action. And you would hope you'll get your 11 players out that are willing to give everything every single game. Bring on camaraderie, bring on continuity. That's what they need at this moment in time, Manchester United, for him to get the players who want to play, get as much energy out in that field as possible, because we've seen the way this league is going now. The teams that are, I'm not going to say dominating, but the teams that are really pulling up trees and looking like they're doing a good job are the teams that play with energy. They've got athletic players and they get about in the park. United haven't got that. They lack it, and they haven't tried to sort that out while the teams that have been promoted have dealt with the situation before they arrived in this division.
Paul, you joined a United team which hadn't won the title for many, many years, and yet by the time you left, you'd won a couple of titles. What did you see change from a team that didn't know it could win to one that could win?
I just saw it. It was always there when I arrived. I arrived at a time when they just won an FA Cup and they'd just come off just winning the Cup Winners' Cup, and everything was on a high. Everyone was buzzing. Everyone was going to events, all these little, events through the councils and that because of what they've achieved. But it was just more, you could just feel it with everyone and the way the talk was. And because some of them had worked with a gaffer for so over a longer period of time, they knew exactly how that man fought. And winning an FA Cup and winning a Cup Winners' Cup was not enough. They hadn't done anything. They hadn't achieved anything at all for the football club as far as they were concerned. So missing out in that first season, it was amazing. That place just become so somber. I remember just sitting there watching Norman White's, sitting in the stands watching Norman Whiteside's testimonial game. And it was horrible. It was horrendous. I felt sorry for Norman because missing out in the league that year, 91, 92, it affected his testimonial game. But we all knew how we stood then with the gaffers that, the priority was next season, because if you don't take it as a priority, you weren't going to be there the following season if you missed out. And everyone just grabbed onto that. Everyone knew what was meant to happen, what we was meant to achieve. Otherwise, it was game over.
Paul, when you were sitting in the dressing room, you looked around and you saw characters, strong characters like Cantona, Keane, Brian Robson, Peter Schmeichel. When you look at the current Manchester United dressing room, and I know whether that's societal things or just generally in football, are there the leaders at Manchester United now?
No, I mean, I think that's the thing in football in general, to be honest, really, Henry. I think football's lost that way because of football now has moved on another level in where the players are actually coming from. If I'm talking on the English, the British side of it, football was, as I see it, a working class game. Everyone come into it, it was their love, what they wanted to do, desperate to do it. In certain ways, money was secondary because they wanted to be footballers. I wanted to be a footballer and I'm desperate to get there. And if it meant, you couldn't go and be that demanding, you went and grabbed it. But if I look at one player sticks out for me in United team who is a leader. Every time he plays, he's got a level of consistency which you have to have if you want to be a top side, and that's De Ligt. He's the one player. I see it in his face. I see it in his manner. I see he leads by example. You can see the way he demands certain things. He's a reader of the game. He senses danger. How many challenges does he make covering teammates? I was always taught when I defended, you mark a man and a half. Your man is important, but it's just as important to protect your teammates as well. I don't see that in the present Manchester United team or Manchester United team over the last few seasons.
It's interesting you should say De Ligt, because you wouldn't say that he's had a stellar start to his Manchester United career. He started very well as a youngster at Ajax, but there's been questions about
it. He's had a good season this season.
Hang on, we're on Man United. at the moment. You wouldn't say he's been amazing. I thought you were going to say Bruno Fernandes, but you don't see him as a leader.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Why is that?
You know, it'd be an easy thing to come out and say because people keep using these words over the season. They keep saying his numbers are good. Numbers are great, but I look at what you watch a player for 90 minutes and you judge them on watching what they actually do. And for me, he comes in, he's a man who wears the cape. He goes and scores that all-important equaliser or the goal that wins the game at the end. He's dug United out so much during the years. But do I see him as a leader? He's captain because he's seen as Manchester United's best player. It's as simple as that. The manager's not going to change it. But when I look at him, and Sean, you were saying about De Ligt, yes, he had not a great start, but he was never playing consistently. For me, he's the focal point of what they got. As if they're going to play the three, he has to play in the middle. It's because the way he plays, he can cover the ground better. He senses danger. You don't always need pace to be a good defender, be a great defender. You have to be a good reader and you have to know how to organise players around you. He's willing to do that. So that's my, my take on Manchester United and who I think is the focal point of that team. And it's someone who leads by example first.
Well, you're the expert, Paul. Liverpool are coming into this off the back of three straight defeats in all competitions. So do you think Amorim can turn it around, give them a morale-boosting victory today and kick on from there?
If I'm being perfectly honest, I'd have to say no, because everything says it doesn't happen to win two in a row, to go to Anfield and go and win at Anfield. And people talk about Liverpool have lost three games. They've lost them all away from home. So it doesn't make, it doesn't come into it in a game like this. It can go either way. United have come into this fixture so many times at Anfield and been in a poor state. And I watched one of the best Manchester United performances in many a year since Sir Alex retired in a 0-0 draw a couple of seasons back under Ten Hag. It was a great disciplined performance and they created the three best chances in the game, but they never took them. We've seen them, previous to that to go there and win when Mata scored there. So it hasn't happened enough. It should happen more for a good Manchester United side. It would have done. But this Liverpool side, they need awakening at this moment. They haven't really risen anywhere near the levels that they had, were up with last season. But that, at the end of the season, they tailed off a bit. They took their foot off the gas because they hadn't been tested. They won the league and they just went, whoop, and they virtually switched off. That would never have happened under Sir Alex, not in a million years. You finish the season strong to take you in the right mindset for the following season. Liverpool were parting at the end of the season. Every game became like a testimonial, and it's carried on so far this season. New players coming in as well hasn't really helped them gel. For Liverpool to go and buy so many players after winning a league title doesn't seem right to me. You won a league. You don't need that many signings after winning a league. You've got a great base there. You built continuity because the team never changed a lot at Liverpool. Small changes, and you go out and you make all those signings, especially in that front line, and it's taking its toll at the moment.
Okay, Paul, just before you go, give you a bit of a quick plug. As I said, it's Tackling the Game, Paul Parker, My Life in Football. It's your second book. You're prolific.
Yeah, right. Definitely might be in books, not in the goal scoring anyway.
tell us about it.
It's just me just being a realist, really, about life and just about my career from starting at Fulham and, from my time at Rangers, which really made me at QPR, everything about it. I went there as a third division player into the old first division. I was playing at centre-half, which is like looking at me strangely, jumped into my first games. End up man-marking Graham Sharp in my second game for Queen's Park Rangers up against John Fashion. Everything was a challenge. And that's what Rangers done for me. Rangers was a challenge going there, making that massive jump to QPR. And then after that, all I wanted to do was just keep going and going and just wanting to move on. I get the move. I move to Manchester United. And again, it's a challenge. And I dwelled on it. you know, I loved the challenge, but it come to a point where I got to a level and I didn't really, with my injury as well, I never really grabbed hold of it. You know, just kind of just, well, I'll get there in the end, but I not didn't really mentally push myself hard enough because I just assumed it was going to happen. And the way I'm talking is just what the book's more about than my previous book. I'm actually saying it more so as it is and what I did before.
You're certainly wearing your heart on your sleeve, Paul. Thanks very much to you this morning. Good luck with the book. Thank you.
Thank you, Sean. Thank you, Henry.
Thank you, Paul Parker. You're listening to Sunday Edition. And next up, we look at some proposed changes to football.